Praise the Lord. Well, again, we're glad that you're here. I said happy Sabbath to begin with. I say happy Sabbath again. We're glad that you're here. We're glad that we can come apart and we can study the Scripture. We can rest in Jesus. We can rest in His peace and His security. We'll be studying tonight about the judgment hour. The judgment hour, again, one of the most urgent messages I find in the Bible. You know, and I like it, and it's part of our commission of the three angels' message. I find it kind of disturbing, if I can use that word, sometime, because many people who have been in this movement for a long time, they forget what the three angels' message is all about. I can't hardly believe it. This is our focus. This is what we are to be giving to the world, the warning. And I hear sometimes people say, well, you know, give the first and the second angel's message, but don't give the third because you're going to offend somebody. If you're not ready for truth, you're going to be offended by and by. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter how. Well, if you do with a little bit more love, I've heard that too. The reason we give this message is because we do love, because we do want the Jesus to come. But no one could give the gospel, the message of the Bible, better than Jesus did, and look what happened to him. We're commissioned to give it as it is in Jesus and let him take care of it. The judgment hour, how important. Prior to the second coming of Jesus, there will be this judgment hour message going into the world. Notice what it is. It's going to decide the fate of every person who has ever been born on this planet. This is covered in the judgment hour. It's going to, imagine, the fate of every person is going to be settled one day soon. Every person. I mean, that sounds awful big, because the judgment will reveal, notice this, the judgment is going to reveal our thoughts and our deeds and our actions. Three things. Our what? Our thoughts and our deeds and our actions, because many profess to love Jesus, right? Many profess, saying, well, we're going to go to heaven. We want to go to heaven. Why was the three angels' message really even given? Because of the condition of the world was in a mess, and God had to send a special message. In fact, as you study it a little closer, it says we are at the time of Revelation 18 where that fourth angel comes down, because of the condition of the churches. That is pretty powerful. That means we need some, maybe need some changes here, need to make a few adjustments. But if we do, praise God, we pray we have time to make those adjustments and thank Him for it. When you use the word just judgment, I want you to think tonight, just as so we can kind of get it settled in our mind, as in a, we're going to be in a court sitting. Court setting. Did you get it? So think about it. Has anybody here ever, oh boy, had to go to court? Now, we know it was for somebody else that wasn't you, so don't worry. Anybody had to, I've had a few times. Well, we've got one on us. We have two. Will there be another? Yeah, there's a few more. That's all. It's okay, because those things happen, whatever. But then you kind of know how solemn it is to maybe be asked to come to court, or maybe it's mandatory that you come to court. But anyhow, it's kind of solemn when you go into that room, isn't it? And when the judge stands up, you know, or for just before he comes in, you know, they'll all rise. He comes in, they say, now you may be seated. But there's something about it, it's like it's maybe final. Whatever is the case might be, it's going to be settled right then and right there, and that's just the way it's going to be. In the judgment, I want to think in terms of two choices tonight. I like things simple. There's going to be two choices that you can choose one or the other. We can choose, because remember, we're going to court. You can choose to represent yourself if you want to. Or you can choose to let Jesus represent you. Now, one of them is a sure loss. Can you figure that one out? If I represent myself, it's just going to be a sure loss, even if it's a parking ticket when you get in court against some of these sharp lawyers. Are you with me? But in this life and death situation, we need somebody to represent us. We're going to look at the certainty of the judgment. We're going to look at the records used in the judgment. Because remember, about everything we say, everything we do, the motives of our heart, we'll go over and over and over that, is registered. It's not because God can't remember. It's for our own good. Because we'll say, Lord, Lord. And all was hit. Here it is. I didn't do any of that. No, but you thought it. Are you still with me, church? Everything. And you know, that's sobering to me. There's a lot of things I wouldn't want brought to light. How many of us would show up tonight in this church if your life history was up here? And maybe just the things you did, let alone the things were in private. I don't think I would show up. Because all have sinned and come short. No one's any better than anybody else, and we got problems. We're going to look at the fate of the wicked and the fate of the righteous, praise God. A few years ago, there was a sensational courtroom drama, and they filmed most of it, I think it was on TV for a long, long time, and it captured the attention of the world, I know that. And you'll know it, the American, you know, football legend was accused of murdering his wife and maybe some other person, I think, too. He was accused of murder, killing his wife. And after all the weeks that went on and televised and so on and so forth, the jury come back and they look and they said, not guilty. And he looked at him and said, thank you. He knew he was in trouble if they said, guilty. But see, we're looking at here, that could be or it could not be. Is somebody still with me? We won't know till the judgment. We won't know till Jesus comes, as it were. Only heaven knows, and not just this man, whether he did or he didn't. You see. But this is not the way it's going to be for you or for me. All the information will be there. And the right decision will be made. There's not, well, I'll go back to court. Well, I'll get another hearing. I'll do something. It's final when your name comes up in the judgment, and I can guarantee you your name will come up in the judgment, whether you want it to or whether you don't want it to, whether you want to be involved or not, it doesn't matter because every person, the Bible said, is going to come up in the judgment because we were born here on this planet. Now, how do I know that you have, how do I know that you've got a court date set up? Is there something in Scripture that tells us? I always like it when someone says, I got good news and I got bad news. And why is it every time I say, give me the good? What would you say? Most of the time someone's asked you that, what do you usually say? Well, give me the bad, I don't care. No, give me the good. Then it kind of helps you take the bad. Well, I've got some bad news, and I'll give it to you first. Every person on this planet, every person in this room tonight has been accused of something bad. The finger's been pointed at you from the enemy and says they are bad. I was thrown out of heaven for less than that. And now we're guilty. My dad said, I caught you red-handed, son. You're guilty of sin. Yeah, there wasn't a jury that went on. That was just the execution, if you know what I mean. He sure was. And you've been found guilty, and I've been found guilty. Everyone in the world has been found guilty. And now we're going to get the penalty is death. So for sure, we're under the death penalty. There's no doubt about it. Well, see, I need some help then. In reality, if that happened to you here, what would you tell me tonight? Get me the best lawyer you can get. Wouldn't you? I would. Give me the best help you can get. Because I think anymore in this country, it's not really whether you're guilty or innocent or not. It's who's the best lawyer. Oh, I almost said who's the best liar. Oh, I wouldn't want to say that. Oh. And not everybody's that way, so if you're a lawyer, I still love you anyway. It's okay. But illustration. Because, you know, they're not always telling the truth, but they want you to tell the truth. And if you don't tell the truth, they'll put you in jail for it. But they're allowed to go so far with things. You know what I mean? Heaven's not like that. The judgment. But we are guilty, and the Bible says this death. I'm guilty as charged, 2 Corinthians 5:10. Here's how I know you're going to have a date in court. I know it's coming up because the Bible says. All must appear what? All must appear, 2 Corinthians 5:10, all must appear before the judgment seat of Christ. How many? All. Well, I'm an atheist. I don't have to. Yeah, you do. We'll clarify that a little bit later on as you go, because when we're talking about the judgment now, this judgment hour here, we're talking about those who are profess to be Christians. Because those who do not profess to be Christians, you don't have a leg to stand on. Think about it. Why discuss it? Why go over it? You've never accepted Jesus as the only way out. So it's those who profess to be Christians, because not everyone that says, Lord, Lord, we'll read that a little later on. All then's going to appear before God. Let's read it where it's found, in case you haven't read it in a while, and the people who are new haven't read. Turn with me to Revelation chapter 14. You should know this. You know, they say like the back of your hand. Revelation chapter 14, verse 6 and 7. Because it lets us know that we're in this judgment hour. Starting with verse 6. Are we there? Revelation chapter 14, 6 and 7. The Bible says, I saw what? Another angel fly in the midst of heaven. Notice, having the everlasting gospel to preach to them that dwell where? On the earth. Are you an earth dweller? Yes. And to every nation, kindred, tongue, and people, saying with a loud voice, listen, fear God and give glory to Him, for the hour of His judgment is, we're talking about the hour of His judgment tonight. The Bible said in the first angel's message, the hour of His judgment is come. Worship Him that made heaven and earth and sea and the fountains of water. Huh. You realize these angels in here and symbols? I wish we had a whole lot more time. We don't. These angels in here represent those who receive the truth and with power give the message to the world. That means you. That means no weaklings in the service of Christ. They receive this truth and with power of the Holy Ghost, they give this message to the world. I want to be a part of that. I know you do too. Now remember about why the three angels' message are given is because what? Because the principles of the churches have become so corrupt. None of us want to think along that line, because we see a sign outside and we say it says Christian, we automatically think, well, it must be good. The devil says he's running the show down here. I don't know if you remember that or not. And he decided to get baptized and join the church. Just think with me. Where do you think he's going to work? It'd be especially those who are professing to be. But he's not going to let you get away with the truth. He's going to try to camouflage that truth. And that's what the book of Revelation talks about, Revelation 18 especially. It's become a horrible mess, spiritual mess. And God is warning that we need to quit drinking of that wine, that false doctrines and teachings. Your day in court. Think about it. The message goes how far? All the world, every nation, kindred, tongue, language, people is what it's talking about here. This is not an earthly court that we're talking about at all. You know that, but it's a heavenly court. Something that's going on that the world thinks you're out of your mind when you begin to present. When you start talking about the heavenly sanctuary, they say, oh, man. Just read your Bible, it becomes very, very clear. And you talk about investigative judgment, they think also you've lost something else. Because they're thinking, as a human would think, why doesn't God already know? Yes, He does. There's reasons why God does what He does, and some's way over our heads. But it's always for our best, isn't it? Because He loves us, absolutely. I call this tonight the trial of the ages. The earth may have had some dandies in the past, but this is the trial of the ages here. It's a final drama in the history of this world. This is wrap-up time, my brothers and sisters. wrap-up time, and some of them are still hanging on. I've heard people say before, I don't know whether to quit and just quit going to church. I'm hanging by a thread. Well, a thread's not very much. Well, they'll say, well, it's better than nothing. Well, you can hang by a whole lot more than that. Put your hand in the hand of Jesus. All of mankind, destiny, settled once and for all. We need to repeat that. You remember Daniel? Quick, let's go to Daniel. You remember the book of Daniel? Again, we look at the prophecies of Daniel. What do you think Daniel saw in vision? Daniel saw in vision a courtroom sitting. He saw what was taking place in heaven. Now remember, we say, why all this? When Jesus comes, he said what? I bring my reward with me to give every man according as his work shall be. Everything has to be settled. Everything will be settled before Jesus comes back. Daniel 7, verse 13. Here's what he saw. You may have your Bible. You may want to turn there. You maybe see it on the screen. But I think this is, to me, this is just fantastic here. I get a little bit of goosebumps, if you don't mind, when I begin to read the book of Daniel. If Daniel saw it, was he a true prophet? Was he a man of God? There's no doubt about it. If he said, I saw it, he saw it. Well, I say, well, that can't go on in heaven. Man, come on. He said he saw it. Daniel chapter 7, verse 13. I always like to say the Bible says, I saw a night vision. What was he having? He was having a vision given to him, right, by the Holy Spirit, by God. Notice this. Behold, one like the Son of Man came with the clouds of heaven. What do you think those clouds of heaven are all about if you study it a little bit? Somebody say the angels, I'll get real tickled. Oh, good. And came to the Ancient of Days, and they brought him near before him. You see the sittings going on here? Can you imagine the scene that's taking place? If you don't catch it tonight, you're going to miss something here. A scene taking place that Daniel is allowed to view so that he can write it in the book for us. Daniel looks up into heaven. He sees the real Supreme Court of the universe. The real Supreme Court of the universe. 10,000 times 10, thousands and thousands of, right, thousands. The holy angels, messengers of God, all gathering around. There's God sitting on the throne. There's Jesus is there. Tell me something's not going on. Something big's going on. The angels are going to witness all of these things. They're witnesses to them. We need a witness. You know, we've got that guardian angel that I believe has been assigned to us from our birth. You might disagree. And one of these days, if you're faithful, you'll get to see that guardian angel. Be able to talk to that guardian angel, how it protected you when you're trying to walk when you were little, you know, and you almost fell and hit your head on the coffee table in the corner. And all, you just missed it. You know what I mean, accidents. You'll find that, I know you'll find that angel, their hand just kind of went in between. Oh, they could have been killed. Oh, they could have been thankful for that guardian angel. Imagine this scene, angels in God's court. Daniel said, ooh, I see the Ancient of Days. I see God seated. He sees Jesus, the Son of Man. The court, come to order. Something's going to happen. Come to order. Daniel 8:14 certainly talks about what we're talking about. I wish we had more time, but we're not doing the 2,300 days tonight. But this is part of the longest Bible prophecy. 2,300-year prophecy. And as you read that, you can see what we're talking about here. Malachi chapter 3, verse 1. We don't have those passages. You can't look them all up tonight. Matthew 25 even talks about, you can see, it's talking about the parable of the 10 virgins. All I'm going to say, the Bible goes over some of these things here because they're very, very important. We can't read them all tonight. Back to the book of Daniel. Daniel chapter 7, verse 9 and 10. What does the Bible say? I beheld till the thrones were what again? Come on. Were cast down. The Ancient of Days did sit, whose garment, ooh, glory, was white as snow. And notice, the hair of his head was like pure wool. That's what the Bible says. Somebody said, well, I don't believe his hair's. You haven't seen God, and I haven't seen God. Let's not try to say what he's looked like and what he's not to look like. But Daniel said, I saw. And you know what? That's just good enough for me. I don't mind to be simple-minded. That's just good enough for me. He just said his hair is white as snow. Notice this. He said his throne was like fiery flames. Does that sound right? And his wheels as burning fire. You find those other things similar to that in other passages of Scripture, as God is a consuming fire. Verse 10 says, a fiery stream issued and came forth from before him. Thousands and thousands ministered to him. 10,000 times 10,000 stood before him. Notice the word. The judgment was set and the books were opened. There you go. Something's going on here. Something is going on here. He said the judgment was set and the books were open. Maybe we look at that a little bit closer as we go on. Meaning, what does it mean? The books were open. Well, number one, we realize that's the investigative judgment period that's beginning at this time. The books, remember, contain evidence. Evidence that will condemn you to hell, or evidence that will make sure you make heaven your home. But there's evidence there. That's what's in those books. Quickly, some of the books that the Bible talks about. What books, you say? Boy, Revelation 22, 19. Revelation 22, 19 says there's a book of what? Somebody say book of life, I'll get tickled. Yeah, Revelation 22, 19, I think it's book of life. Is it important that your name be written in the book of life? If it's not written in the book of life, what might happen? What will happen? Heaven won't be our home, will it? Malachi 3:16. There's a book called the Book of Remembrance. Ooh, I'm glad that book's there. See, that way I know, be careful, I know I'm not going to get cheated. I'm not going to be falsely accused, because everything is written there in the Book of Remembrance, that God would remember us. 3, Revelation 21, 27, called the Lamb's Book of Life. I love that. And then Revelation 20, verse 12 says, it's going to be according to their works, whether they be good or evil. So we're going to be judged by what? By our works, whether they be good or evil. All of it's written in the book because we're in the judgment time and there's evidence. Remember what takes place in this judgment? What does it settle? The destiny of the human race. That's why everyone came and round God who sat, you see, as it were, a judge, you think earthly judge. Jesus is standing there by him as a lawyer, as it were. All the angels there as a jury. Somebody think with me just a little bit. Daniel 8:14 says unto me, notice it said, for 2,300 days, and then shall the what? Sanctuary be cleansed. If we apply this as quickly as we can tonight when we think about it, what do we do when we look at Bible prophecy? We're talking about 2,300-year prophecy. What do we apply to make sure that it's right? A day for what? A day for a year. Ezekiel 4:6, Numbers 14:36 makes that very, very clear. He said, I have appointed thee each day for a year there in Ezekiel 4:6. And Numbers 14 talks about the children of Israel, you know. He said, you'll wander in the wilderness for 40 days. What do we know? It was 40 years, and then he said, I'll give you a day. See, for your prophesying into the future. We can apply that. It always works out. The Bible talks about the cleansing of the sanctuary. It talks about a heavenly sanctuary, Hebrews 9, verse 24, which it says the earthly was a figure of the true. Isn't that beautiful? Everything in the earthly temple sanctuary represents Christ's ministry in the heavenly. But how wonderful that is. If we study the earthly sanctuary, all we'll see is Jesus in there. Everything that Jesus, right, everything he did, everything he's doing, everything he will do for us as a people. That gives me encouragement. But you know what? Very few people of the world study the sanctuary message. And many who are Adventists don't study it. They don't know anything about the sanctuary. You realize that the sanctuary message is the centerpiece of Adventism. It's the centerpiece. It's the foundation on which we build that proves what we're talking about. But why? No one else is preaching this. The devil don't want it to be preached to say we're in the judgment hour. I wish we had several hours because what? Look at the grace of God. Look at the truth and the power of God to look and say, I love my people so much that we've been in the judgment hour, as Daniel talks about here. 8:14, 2,300 days, then shall sanctuary be cleansed. Quickly, we realize that prophecy began in what? 457 B.C. We realize there were three, right? Darius and Cyrus and Artaxerxes were involved. Two of them said, the going forth of the order to what? Build and to restore. Artaxerxes was build and restore underneath there. So you look, when did he give that decree? If we had time, we can go through all of this. It was 457 B.C. Then it says, 70 weeks are determined upon thy children. 70 weeks of days, you take 70 times 7, is 490 years, a probationary time for the Jews as a nation. That ended in 34 A.D. It encompassed the time of Christ's baptism in A.D. 27, the cross in 31, and the stoning of Stephen in 34, and the message going to the Gentiles by Paul in 34 A.D. It fits like a T. How could a prophecy be given like this that tells the very year that Jesus would be baptized? Tell the very year that he's going to be crucified on the cross. And the message to go to the world. How that nothing like this Bible prophecy that he's left for us so that we're not found without. This is beautiful. This is concrete. This is a foundation. Stand on it, my brothers and sisters. Realize the importance of the sanctuary because it does point to Jesus Christ. All the sacrifices, all that he would do and is doing for us. I praise God for that. We realize in the earthly sanctuary that what happened one time a year? Yeah. Be Day of Atonement or the Day of At-One-ment or the cleansing of the sanctuary where the sins were symbolically stored up for the whole year. That represented that one time a year, represented the time that Jesus, God would sit on the throne. Jesus would be there. The angels would come up. And then what? All those sins symbolically stored in there, what would be? Done away with, because Jesus said, when I come back, there's not going to be sin. People say, well, I'll just carry it along with me till Jesus comes, and when he comes, he's going to change it and make it. No, he will not. Victory is to be gained now before he comes back, because the character will not be changed at the coming of Jesus. Somebody listen to it. If you don't listen, throw a shoe if you want to. I'll just stay a little bit longer here. I love you enough, I'll take the shoes. Why? Because I hear it over and over with people who should know better. It makes me feel bad. Not trying to downtrod, I'm not trying to make it ugly. But if there be one person here that thought that I couldn't rest. And let's just say no. Because we're thinking, do the best I can, and when Jesus comes, he'll change my character. When he comes, there's no character changes. Righteous will be righteous, filthy will be filthy still. That's the bottom line. That's the way that it is. Only thing it's going to be when Christ comes, he's going to give me that glorious body. Like Jesus. Think about that. We shall be changed in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye, at the last trump. That's when the change comes. We don't zip off to heaven as soon as we die. And we're going to. I'll show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall be changed. Isn't that right? At the last trump. The dead in Christ rise. This is beautiful. Let us know that we're on target here. We're talking about the sins symbolically stored for the cleansing or the blotting out. The blotting out of sin represents the what? Cleansing of the heavenly sanctuary. The heavenly sanctuary is going to be cleansed of all sin before Jesus comes back. But I tell you what, your name will come up. Do you realize tonight, oh man, time's going by so quick. I'm starting to feel good, brother. You know why? Because I know this is the truth. I bank my life on this, my spiritual life, eternity on it, because I'm sure of what God says in his word. I'm not risking anything tonight by telling you that. I want you to stand firm on it too. Because this has been gone over and over and over and over, not just saying what we're talking about here, but in study. Men of God, men and women of prayer. And you come up with the same answer. Here we are in the judgment hour. And if you look at that Bible prophecy, when we finished at 34 A.D., that leaves 1,810 years left of the 23 we started with. Oh, we need things up there on the screen, don't we? Don't have them. 2,300 year prophecy. We got down, now we're down 34 AD. That leaves 1,810 years left. You add 34 and 1810, you come to 1844. The judgment hour has begun. There's no doubt about it. The judgment hour began in 1844 beyond a question or shadow of a doubt. That simply means that we've been in the judgment hour now for over 176 years. All that said to me was God loves us so much. He doesn't love us more than he loved before the flood, but realize they preached 120 years, isn't that right? And probation closed the time of the flood. 120-year message and the flood came, pew, gone. 176 years, we're still fooling around. We're still here. Something's wrong, I tell you. I'm not trying to criticize, condemn. I don't know your life. I don't know what you do. I don't know where you're at in your walk with God. That's not for me to know. I don't care about knowing that. I just want to make sure you're doing the right thing, the best you know, living up to the light that you have. Every ray of light you have, God requires us to walk in that. And I look at it sometimes and I say, oh, God, help me. Because we know better. And when we know better and do the other, that's willful sinning, isn't it? To him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. This is the whole issue in the judgment. Wow, when you think about it. This is awesome message that need to be giving, the three angels' message. The judgment hour has come. And where does it begin? Somebody say the house of God. Judgment begins in the house of God because my Bible says so. Was it 1 Peter 4:17? Again, judgment deals with the professed people of God professing. We love Jesus. Acts 17:31. Notice this quickly. Time's going. Acts 17:31. Because he hath appointed a day in which he will judge the world. Not only in the Old Testament, you go to the New Testament. He said, he has what? There's a day that he will judge the world. God had appointed a day in which he will judge the world. He knew it before the foundation of the world. He knew that man would sin. He knew that when he created Adam and Eve, he knew exactly what they would do. But remember, the warfare began where? In heaven. It began up there. Who's on trial? God's on trial. God's character's on trial. This is what it's all about, because the enemy accused him. No one can keep the law. They're doing the same old stuff today here. Professed Christian, well, there's no way you can keep God's law. No, you can't within yourself, and I sure can't by myself, but I guarantee you with the power and the aid of the Holy Spirit, you know, and say otherwise than that, you're calling Jesus a liar. Is it all right if I just talk plain? If we don't believe that, then we don't believe that Jesus came in the flesh. We don't believe he was fully human and, of course, fully divine, but he never used divinity. If he used things that I can't have, he can't be my Savior. Does that make sense, church? See, the reason a lot of times we can't get it is because we look at our own filthy life, our own face in the mirror all the time. We see how sinful we are, how weak we are, how vacillating we are. And we said, not even a thought did Jesus sin. Because he emptied himself of self and was filled with the Father. God, help me to empty myself of self and be filled with the Father. Because if I'm beholding him, sin doesn't look attractive. If I'm looking at Jesus, you see what I'm saying? If I'm contemplating, I'm reading, I'm studying, I'm praying about Jesus, these other things are just not appealing anymore. As a Christian, I have all the freedom in the world. I get to do everything I want to do. Are you still with me? People say, oh, I tell you, legalistic and all, oh, you people, you can't do this, you can't. I get to do everything I want to do. I just choose by the grace of God not to do the other things. Does that make sense? The Bible says there's perfect freedom and liberty in the cause of Christ. Why would we say anything else? Begins in the house of God. That simply means that judgment began with whom? In the very beginning, in the righteous, Adam and Eve, isn't that right? Back in the beginning, the first ones that passed away, the house of God. And then it goes right on what? All the way. If it's been going on for 170, what did I say, 674 years or whatever, 770. Do you realize if it has not already? That's just a question. Too much debate about that in Adventism. Trying to figure out the time when the judgment of the living begin, you know, all this right here. You know what? Just make sure you're right today. Make sure you're right today. Don't try to say what the Bible has not revealed or what spirit of prophecy has not revealed. That causes problems. That causes division in the church. We can stay clearly with Scripture. What He's revealed is for us and our children. It can be very, very plain. Other than that, don't sidetrack issue on me. I don't like sidetracks, brother. I just don't like them. I hear them all the time. The devil's coming against us, throwing one sidetrack issue off that has nothing to do with salvation. Not a thing to do with it. It's somebody projected something. Somebody thought this is the way that it is. And you have tried to give an answer because they thought outside the Scripture, as it were. Something God hadn't revealed. Don't waste your time. We're in the judgment hour. And it will turn to the living if it has not already. This is just good food thought for you. If it is, that means your name could come up any day. Or maybe your name has already come up. And when it comes up, God knows everything about you. He knows from this moment till you die. He knows everything. And there will be, it's not, well, we'll postpone it until they pass away. It's going to be a verdict on you and a verdict on me. When Kenny Shelton's name come up, if I don't have Jesus stand up there and say, oh God, he's mine. Are you with me? If we don't have Jesus, I'm telling you, defending us, remember, you're not going to appear. You're not going to be in this judgment, as it were, bodily. And I'll say, well, Brother Don did it to me. Love you, my brother. I would. Brother Danny did it to you. You know what I'm talking about. There's not going to be any of that. There's no use. All the records are there. Of every intent of the heart. Well, I went and helped all these people right here. They'll think I'm really good. You know, they don't need. Better not to do it if you don't do it from the heart. But when your name comes up, you remember God seated on the throne, as it were. We broke God's law. There was a penalty for it. And Jesus said what? I'll pay that penalty. I'll step in for mankind. Because there's no way the world is lost in every individual. I mentioned it before. Every individual except for Jesus Christ, right? The devil worked over. And every one that will be born till Jesus come will get worked over. That means they'll sin and come short of the glory of God. Jesus is the only one. And he did it because he had Brother Frank on his mind. Because he had Kenny on his mind. Because he knew I couldn't do it. He knew I was a low-down scoundrel. None good, no, not one. He knows that. So we don't need to set Pius IX and think we're better than somebody else. No, we're not better than anybody else. But we want heaven to be our home. My name comes up, my dear. I need to have Jesus. Well, he does. Kenny Shelton. Oh, I want to. He looks at the Father. His outstretched hands. Those nail-scarred hands. Scar still on his forehead. Side pierced in his feet. He lifts up his hand. He said, Father, my blood. What can God do? Nothing other than say it's all right. Jesus will say, they're one of mine. He belongs to me. And where I am, remember, Father, the prayer, I said, where I am, I want them to be where I am. And you said, okay. See, to me, that's just beautiful. I want them. You said, okay. God doesn't look at my records. He don't need to hear about my pathetic life. He knows all about it. He's interested, have I accepted Jesus? Without it, we're not going to go anywhere. We're just not going to go anywhere. And that bothers me tonight. We talk about joining the church. We talk about being baptized. We're talking about a lot of things that need to be talked about and done and so on and so forth. And we just can't figure out if it's the right thing to do or not. What would you do without Jesus tonight? Would you have made it through some of the difficult circumstances, situations that have developed? The judgment is not just about, we're talking about, just doesn't, you know, talk about the saved and the lost or what they did or what they didn't do, even though that all play a part. But do you love Jesus? That's the big question. Do you love Him with your whole heart, your soul, and your mind? I'm convinced this is the end. And I never... I have all the time some kind of, and I'm sure you too, a burden in my heart. And the Lord's impressing day in and day out, this is the time of the end. What you do, you need to do it. And that's in a good way. You don't sit back and wait till next week. You don't wait till next month. You don't wait till retirement. It's like the baptism, what you have to do. You rise quickly, and what's causing the holdup here? Let's do it. Why? Because if something happens to you, or remember, your name will come up. And if you haven't accepted Him as Lord and Savior, and that means following what you know is right, He cannot stand up in the judgment. He wants to. Look at His life and what He did. There's no question, does He love me? You know He loves you. And we, in this life, we begin to think sometimes we're a little bit of exception because we're just a pretty good old boy. Good old boy is not going to make it to the kingdom. Ones who make it to the kingdom are those who love Jesus with all their heart, their mind, their soul, right? That's what the Bible says. Tonight we have to question, do we love Him with all of our heart, our soul, and our mind? To know that we come to Him, all those bad things are forgiven, and I can start over that we talked about. And my name's written in the Lamb's Book of Life. And when my name comes up, He's going to stand up for me. That's what I want. Don't let Revelation 22:11 come on you. He who's unjust will be unjust still. He the filthy will be filthy still. Right now, you must decide whether you follow Jesus or you follow the beast power. You talk about the third angel's message. I hate to put it so simple, but maybe I should. It's Jesus or the beast. Hello, church. It's Jesus or the beast. And there'll be many here who have no idea what the beast is. I suggest that you find out what the mark of the beast is. That's the third angel's message. That's the message we're supposed to be giving. Will it offend people? Yes, it will. You give it because you love them, not because you're mad at them or they're not doing exactly the right thing. You give them the message because Jesus said, this is my last day church will be doing. And you don't hesitate. You don't look at the consequences. You don't look at the price you'll have to pay. Because I guarantee if you look at the price that you're going to have to pay before it's over, you wouldn't do it, or either would I. Are you still listening? That's the kind of price. Do we have that kind of love for Jesus tonight? I'm praying that you do. And I'm praying if you don't, tonight's the night. The verdict is guilty. Jesus can forgive. And since this has been going on for such a long time, let's get our life right with Jesus so that we can go home. And I want to go home. I'm homesick for a country I've never seen. For a home that's built with Jesus' precious hands. And He built it, I'm going to be personal, He built it with me in mind. Yours He built with you in mind. He knows exactly what you like, what you don't, and oh, He's going to do exactly. It's all about us, for His whole life was all about us. Why don't your life and my life tonight be all about Him?